This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 25th, 2013, episode 709.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Yes, sirree, folks, it's Thursday, so that means you only have one day left to surf the web for off-kilter classifieds and email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line. On tomorrow's live show, like we do every Friday, the reading of the ads will reveal the top few to whom we will present the following. The Absorbing Ultra Shield Fly Protection Package. The variety of biting insects your horses deal with throughout the spring, summer, and fall seasons seems endless. Fear not, with four distinct fly control options, UltraShield EX, UltraShield Red, UltraShield Sport, and UltraShield Green, the UltraShield family from Absorbing allows you to use the type of product to best suit your weather conditions, your horse's lifestyle, and workload. Look for Absorbing Ultra Shield fly protection products at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at absorbing.com. Also on the prize list, a pair of Spurs Suaders in your choice of English or Western style. The unique patented design of the Spurs Suader allows you to elicit positive response from your aids rather than the negative resentment that typically comes along with traditional sharp-edged spurs. Spurs Suaders are available in English or Western styles and is permitted in Canadian eventing, Canadian and American hunter jumper, USDF, British and Canadian dressage shows. Ask for the unique patented Spurs Suader spurs at your local tack store, or you can go to spursuader.com. And rounding out the prize list this week, a gift pack from Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatments for scratches, abrasions, cuts, and scrapes on horses, dogs, and cats. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. Now sit back and enjoy this previously aired masterpiece gleaned from the Hit'em Audio Vault.
Oh my God, Glenn, that cat video is the funniest thing I have seen. I'm watching it during the thing. Okay, if you haven't seen the cat video, what's it? It's called...
It's called Katmandu, Simon's Cat.
Holy cow, this is hysterical. So the guy's laying in bed, and it's what your cat does to get you up out of bed in the morning. So if you haven't seen that, go to Horses in the Morning page and check that out, because that is exactly what I imagine if a cat doesn't do, it is what it wants to do to you when you're sleeping and they would like you to wake up in the morning.
It is what the beast did to us every morning, which is why the beast now sleeps in the office at night. He gets lost in there because you just could not sleep with this particular cat in your bed.
Really? Just nothing? He just won't. Well, I believe it. Because when I stayed at your house, that cat, and again, I have major cat allergies, especially to long-haired cats like your special friend, and he would do everything in the world to get onto my pillow. And I would close the door. I would lock him out. I would try to do everything in the world. The second the door would open a crack, like if I had to use the restroom at like 4 in the morning, he would trip me up and dive to rub his hair on my pillow.
That's exactly right. We have two doors between us and him because he will beat on the door all night long to just wake you up. So now we've had to close two doors. That's the reason he's in the office, because we can close two doors between him and us. That's how bad it is.
Nice. Nice. Well, everybody, check this video out, please. It's on our Facebook page, and it is Glenn's cat. I would like to point out that I still do have a cat. The cat has made it now almost an entire month here at the house. And Frank, the cat here, spends his evenings and weekends on the roof of the house. And
then successfully
negotiates his way down every morning to come inside and eat and sleep in the closet. Where then in the evenings he comes out and he meows like this cat with the baseball bat, hits you over the head and says, "Let me out." It's just amazing. We're sitting on the couch last night. Chad goes, "Oh my gosh, I'm exhausted from all these animals." And I looked at him. I was like, "You've got to be kidding me. You're exhausted? You're exhausted?" Yeah. One of these days I'm going to go out of town. I'm going to leave him with all the stuff. And he's going to be amazed.
Or you'll be divorced, one or the other.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other part.
Hey, I posted another picture up. Halloween's coming. I posted another picture up on Facebook of a cute kid and her horse in her Halloween costume that you have to check out again in our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Have to check it out. Well, let's find out
definitely.
From Jennifer what's horsey coming up on the show today.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, it's weekend horsey headlines and equestrian exploits to tickle your funny bone and, frankly, raise the hair on the back of your neck on some of these. Also today, yet another installment of the popular feature, Things We'll Never Own. That's one of the favorites around here, so stay tuned for the ensuing entertainment juggernaut. That is Horses in the Morning.
You know,
Glenn,
I always say things... Well, hold on one second, Jamie. I always say things you'll never own because I plan on owning some of those things someday when I win the lottery. So that's why I always say things you'll never own, because you're not going to win the lottery and I am. See, that's how I think about it.
Yeah. Okay, you just stick with that. I was just going to say that I need a dictionary after listening to your wife to do that part of this. It's like I'm on dictionary.com going, juggernaut. What is a juggernaut?
See, when you live with her, you just learn that you have to just try and figure out the big word. I have to just say, okay, the word before that and after that, and what exactly did she mean? Because, you know, after 25 years, you don't really want to ask anymore. So you just try and figure out the meaning of the context of the statement. That's where I know
what I'm getting you for Christmas. Just so you can survive in your house, I'm going to get you one of those word of the day calendars.
Jennifer has a funny story to tell. She went out to did a hunter pace this weekend, and after we do our daily Winnie, she's going to talk a little bit about that. Because you know how you and Jet in the first couple of shows were that girl
uh-huh.
that everybody points to. Well, uh-huh. Jennifer and her partner were those people. So.
No. Watch out for them. Oh, watch out for them in the warm up. They're crazy. Oh, yes. Oh, thank God.
She has some stories to tell about that. But I promise she'll use small words for us. And we're talking about her like she's not listening right now. So let's do our daily Winnies before we get in trouble. Hey, this goes out to our friend, and I would have you know that 2 years ago, we had to pick for the World Equestrian Games radio show a spotlight eventer, a young person who we thought was going to do terrifically in the future, who was an up-and-coming and might be a star someday, and we picked Jessica Phoenix, and she just won the gold medal at the individuals of the Pan American Games. This is for you, Jessica. Isn't that cool, a regular on our show here?
First of all, it couldn't happen to a nicer person. She's just so lovely to listen to. You know, the time she's been on our show, I just am a huge fan of hers and her horses. And just hearing you say that gave me goosebumps. Can you imagine as a rider what it feels like to win the gold in the Pan Am Games? I mean,
I know.
Amazing.
And she, you know, she's definitely looking for probably has a spot now on the Canadian team for 2012 at the Olympics, and she has to be so excited about that. This horse Pavarotti is amazing. She's always had great cross-country horses, but they have never been the superstars in dressage. This one has both. Terrific horse. So
he's fantastic. Good.
Here's your Daily Whitney.
Well, just to wrap it up, the Pan Am individual results, James Atkinson, Canadian, 7th, Rebecca Howard, Canadian, 6th, Elena Ceballo, which was Venezuelan, was 5th, Michael Pollard was 4th, Buck Davidson was 3rd, Hannah Burnett, 2nd place, Jesse Phoenix, 1st place. So, my Daily Winnie goes out to the American team because they finished with the gold medal, baby. Yay!
Oh. I really wanted this sound file. Sorry about that.
With 138.6 penalty points, the U.S. team beat out Canada, who had 172. Check this out. The individual team they finished on their dressage score. Like, there was no cross-country penalties. There was no show jumping penalties. There was no time penalties, nothing. It was faultless. Faultless. And that, I don't think, has ever been done. So congratulations to the American team. They went first place in the gold. Canada came in 2nd, Brazil in 3rd, Argentina in 4th, and Guatemala in 5th. So, yay, U.S.
Good job. Terrific. I think we're going to see some competition at the Olympics this year. It won't just be, you know, the Germans and the Europeans wiping us up and taking all the medals again. We might actually have a shot at doing some things here. So let's hope. Let's hope between the Canadians and the Americans.
Yeah, I mean, Canada's team is amazing. The U.S. team right now is looking great. So it's going to be, you know, I mean, of course, Australia's team always looks awesome. So you can't really argue with that. But it's going to be the London 2012 Olympics are going to be fantastic as far as riding. Oh, I can't wait.
Yep, it will be. All right, you took a lesson over the weekend. How'd that go?
Yeah, I was supposed to take a lesson. So I have to tell you, Jennifer, I can't wait to hear about your 100 pace because it's going to be clearly more exciting than mine. Yes, Saturday morning, I load up the truck. I hook the truck and trailer up, load up the horse, actually convince Chad to go with me. He's never been to one of my lessons. So he was going to go, be the good husband, come to the jumping lesson. He gets in the truck. We got the dog. We like start driving out the driveway. We get all the way to the freeway, which is about half an hour to get to the freeway. We're cruising on the freeway, and then bam, they shut the freeway down.
Ah!
30 minutes down the road, I get halfway there, and the freeway is shut down. From where I'm going to the exit that I'm getting off at, which is about 25 miles. So you were supposed to take back roads, which is through the heart of Phoenix, with a horse trailer going through the heart of Phoenix. The stupid 101 shut down, and they wanted me to go 20 miles with red lights every 5 feet. I turned around and went home. I called my coach. I was like, I can't do it. I just can't. I'm going to get, I'm going to get divorced because he's driving. And I'm fighting, and the freeway shut down, and I just can't take the traffic because I live in the country now, and I don't live in the land anymore, and I can't take the traffic, and poor Jet is being thrown forward on his nose and then thrown backwards on his butt. I can't take it. So we turned around and went home. So that was my exciting weekend lesson. There you go. Jennifer, how is your 100 pace?
You didn't have a riding lesson. You had a lesson in patience and diplomacy.
I did. Oh, it was horrible. My God.
My day was much more fun.
Good. Tell me about it.
So I got to be me, Christina, and I. Christina also keeps her horse out at the stable where Beaker lives. And lovely young lady. She's a lot of fun. And she's also Glenn's tennis partner. They play tennis together a lot. And I convinced Christina to come along on the Hunter Pace. She has never been to a Hunter Pace before. And she and her horse have never been to any riding competition before. They just trail ride. So unbeknownst to her, we would go to this. I said, oh, this will be a lot of fun. It'll be great. You'll fit right in. No problem. And you know when you go on, like, Father's Day, you go to the snazziest restaurant in town. You make reservations, and you take the family, mom and dad, and maybe grandma and grandpa and the kids, and maybe an aunt or a cousin or three. You have a big gang, and you go to the fanciest restaurant in town for the special occasion. And you're there having dinner, and it's crowded, sold out. You look across the room, and invariably, there is one table at that restaurant that you know those folks only put on those nice clothes once a year, and it's the same nice clothes once a year for the past 22 years. They just don't quite fit in. It's very obvious an effort was made. But you can tell.
Like the song, which one of these is not like the other?
Exactly, just like on Sesame Street. Which of these things does not belong?
Now you have to tell everybody why you didn't belong.
Well, we went on our maiden voyage with our spiffy new Jeep Liberty and our just about ready for Craigslist horse trailer. Another couple of spots of rust, and we'll be on the Craigslist. And we arrived way too early because it didn't take as long to get there as I thought. And Hercules, bless his little soul, is a Tennessee walking horse. And he is 120% Tennessee walking horse. And he lives outdoors 24/7, and it's
and
autumn.
He's a big, fat, yellow Tennessee walking horse.
It's a giant 17-and-a-half-hand yellow Tennessee walking horse.
So doesn't resemble Trigger, is
no.
What you're saying.
No, not at all.
Fat. The horse trailer with Beaker on one side is barely 15 hands and in pretty good shape now thanks to a muzzle all year. And the Tennessee Walker on the other, the trailer was lifting the port a good bit.
Yeah. And Christina got him all cleaned up because he came in the morning and he was a chia pet. He had so much mud on him. And by the time she got done with him, He looked like your grandpa's wool sock that somebody threw in the dryer, and it shrinks and gets fuzzy at the same time. That's what he looked like. So we get there, and he wanted to say hello to every single horse in the place. So he whinnied nonstop.
Oh,
for
no.
An hour and a half.
And that is the first clue that you are that guy.
Yes.
You are that guy when your horse will not stop screaming. I mean, you cannot have a bigger neon sign above your head with that says, eat at Joe's, you know, pointing down. Right here, this guy. This is the one that's screaming.
Yeah, and we were parked right next to the gate. We parked all the way out at the edge because I thought, well, we don't want to get stuck in traffic when we leave. So we were right out to the next gate. Every single vehicle that drove in, they didn't even have to unload their horses, and he screamed at them as they entered. It was like the greeting committee.
Lovely.
Now, how'd it go riding, though? I mean, when you were actually riding
the 100%. Once we got tacked up, he was all about it. And as we're walking around, we just walked around for a long time because he couldn't sit still. Once we got tacked up, he was in serious sensory overload. And we're walking around and walking around, and I looked over at Christina. I said, Christina, you don't wear gloves when you ride, do you? And she said, nah, Hercules is a putt-putt. He'll be fine. You know, I'm going to have to kick him to keep up with you. Wrong.
Oh, no.
He was the gated speed demon. I was galloping to keep up with him. We were in the Hilltoppers group. We should have gone in the fast class.
Yeah, I was going to say, weren't you in the slow group? I mean...
Well, we had the putt-putts, and then the medium, and then the fast. And we said, well, we'll go in the medium. That's pretty safe. We passed, like, four teams.
Oh, my God. You were totally that guy.
Yeah, we were that guy. We were that guy. And at one point, we're walking around, and the whole day was, squirrel, for Hercules. The whole day. Squirrel!
Yeah.
And he's looking off in the distance, watching some horses gallop across a hill. It's very open, hilly countryside, so you can see a couple of counties away. And Beaker was walking next to him on his right, and he's looking off to the left. And at one point, Beaker just about got to be a squished little orange pancake because he was completely oblivious that he was about to crash into my little 800-pound horse. Splat! Oh, sorry about that.
So, like we talked about, it was definitely challenging to try to keep up with a Tennessee walking horse when you're on a 14-3 hand and a half-quarter horse.
Yes. It was a challenge, yes. And what a brave guy over obstacles. I mean, he's a trail horse his whole life. She goes out there and she starts pointing him at the jumps, and I don't know how he did it, but he jumps over.
What did he do? Did he shuffle up to the jumps and then hop?
I don't know how he did it. I could not tell you how that happened. I wish I had a slow motion camera because he'd get on the other side and Christine was still on board.
So you can picture the scene, Jamie. You're in the rural Kentucky on this little farm on this lane that goes straight up, and she had to use four-wheel drive to get into this farm with all these fox hunters and their big warm bloods or their thoroughbreds or their fancy horses
out. They have three sizes of horse that fox hunt here in Kentucky. They have large, ginormous, and oh my God. That's the three sizes you ride out here. Yeah.
And you got this big, fat, yellow Tennessee walker and this little, tiny red quarter horse out there hunter pacing with them. And we didn't get any pictures, unfortunately.
Not a one. Glenn did not take a single picture.
Glenn, did you go with them?
No, I did not. I did not go along. So
okay, because if you went along and did not take any pictures, that is horse husband fail right there. I mean, your job is to take pictures.
I was not along, so I'm redeemed. I'm off the hook.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm just glad everybody had a good time. Sounds like you had fun, and sounds like it was safe, so that's a good thing. Where was it?
It was in Athens, Kentucky. And now,
for
those of you familiar with Kentucky, we have lots of names of towns that are named after towns in Europe, but we never pronounce them the same. It's spelled like Athens, Greece, but it's pronounced, thank you very much, Athens.
Yes. Now, I must admit that after living in Kentucky for 3.5, close to 4 years, I never called it Athens, ever. I refuse.
Did you call it Versailles or Versailles?
Well, you can't get around the Versailles because I am from the South, and Versailles is a little, you know, it's a little too French for me. But I did grow up in Georgia, where the University of Georgia is in Athens. And so I was not going to call it Athens. That is just terrible.
I stood corrected early in the day. It's Athens.
No, it's not. You redneck. Okay? It's Athens.
And the road to get to Athens or Athens is one lane. If there's something coming the other way, somebody's got to back up into somebody's driveway. That's what rural Kentucky is like. The roads are barely a lane and a half.
On the way back, and you were on the phone with me at the time, on the way back, somebody came the opposite direction on one of the lane and a half roads. And it just so happened that the SUV coming at me decided they really didn't want to get close to the edge of the road because there was a giant ditch on each side. So the better option was to have me get on the edge of the road with a giant ditch on the other side. And I actually had one of my trailer tires going into the ditch. Christina turned green.
That's rural Kentucky.
Yeah, that really is. But they call it the Bluegrass Driving Tour. So you get to go and drive through the entire Bluegrass, and that's probably part of the Bluegrass Driving Tour, where you take your life in your own hands looking at beautiful horse farms going 65 miles an hour on 1.5 lanes.
Yes.
It's awesome. The entire thing, and it's part of the fun. Mm-hmm. It is part of the fun.
Hey,
well, I'm glad you guys did well.
Yeah, we did something else this weekend, too. We went out to the Haggard Mid-South Classic event here at the Kentucky Horse Park on Saturday morning. And we happened to get there at the time when they were doing the classic cross country. So we saw some of the 50 riders that had entered in the classic, which meant they did roads and tracks, the old cross country from eventing days where they did the roads and tracks and the steeplechase. And we got to see a good bit of that cross country and some interesting rides there. We met up with Samantha, my old co-host of the 2010 radio show. We got to walk around the cross-country course and chat with Samantha for a good period of time. Saw Chris there as well. It was like Horse Radio Network host day over at the Kentucky Horse Park. And Glory went along. She had her... Oh, wait a minute. Hold it. We haven't used this in a long time. And I like to play it, so here we go. Glory went along, and she had her first experience at a horse show, and she did great. She didn't bark at any of the horses. She just hung around. Samantha's dog, Leo, was there, and she got to hang around with Leo, and Leo sort of taught her the ropes. And she was terrific. She didn't spook at anything. And then she got to go shopping, Jamie. They had lots of shopping there. So she got to go shopping, and she got a couple of cookies while shopping and also a brand-new waterproof 600 denier coat for this winter.
Wow, your horse did better than your wife's this weekend, or your dog, excuse me.
Yes, so Glory is now outfitted and ready for the winter. Greyhounds are very short-haired and don't have much protection when it comes to wintertime, so she looked really cute in her new blankie. So that was our day. We had a good time watching the Mid-South Classic. Oh, it's over on it. You go over to VentingNation.com. They have a lot of information over there about the Pan Am Games, of course. But they Samantha blogged all weekend from the Mid-South Classic. They had 600 entries to that show.
That's crazy.
I know. You know how many rides there were on cross-country day. And they had a little problem. They had to delay the start because the fog was so thick in the valley where the water jump is that you couldn't see the skinny jump coming out of the water. It was completely invisible. So they apparently debated for a good long time what to do, and they finally had to take the skinny out. So basically took one of the water jumps out because you couldn't see it. And then about 10 minutes, of course, after the first ride, the fog lifted. But I guess they have to keep it even for everybody, Jamie. So they just, if they take it out, mm-hmm. they take it out. And that's it, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I posted the video of my horse trial on our Facebook page, Horses in the Morning, and I want you to notice the stark difference in Eventing Nation's beautiful videos and photos of the Kentucky Horse Park and the barren desert wasteland that I was competing in.
It looked
last
like
week.
I watched this and I went, oh my God, she's riding on the moon.
They call it, it's called the Grass Ridge Horse Trials, and I'll give you $100 if you find a blade of green grass on that property.
How desolate can you get? Oh, my God. It's all just brown.
It's everything in the Arizona is a different shade of brown. It's like what shade of brown is it? There's so many colors here. You had no idea that there was 90 different shades of brown.
I did watch that, though, and he looked like a trooper going around the course.
Yeah, he did fantastic. Well, if you see, it's the one part of him galloping down the hill cross-country where he decided to try to rip the reins out of my hand and run away. So he did do that, but we went on the bank and everything. But my point being, the stark difference in 600 competitors, right, at the Kentucky Horse Park, or a grand total of like 90 on the surface of the moon.
And then the other thing, too,
Kentucky.
Is I don't know who filmed this for you, but I rather felt like I had just been to a Grateful Dead concert, was a little stoned when I watched the dressage part.
I will not comment on the lovely lady who did it, but that could be the case. I don't know. No, she said in her description of this video that she was definitely toying with the different settings and that this is not the final setting, but that it would be better.
Well, I'm glad. I think she should take out the whole fuzzy effect because I really did kind of go, whoa, I thought it was high for a second.
I found myself cleaning my glasses several times.
I know. I had it on my iPhone the first time I saw it, and I was like, oh.
All right, let's do our hey, Kid Jennifer, are we able to get this guest a little early like we talked about or not?
We should be. We're crossing our fingers that the connection is good.
All right, so why don't we do our commercial, and then we'll see if we can get the guests on the line here and do things that you will never own because I will.
Oh, good luck with that. Well, we would like to thank Omega Alpha for being today's sponsor. We all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we care about what we feed ourselves. And Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies, and that's why Omega Alpha uses only natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. I would love to see what Dr. Shank's basement looks like. Don't you, like, think of, like, a mad scientist with all these different, like, vials and concoctions? This will make your horse trot better. And then this one will make your horse breathe better. You know, it's, like, amazing. The other difference with Omega Alpha is what I just said, the science that goes into their products. Dr. Chang is well-respected in the industry as a pioneer of putting the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for your horse. They have a wide range of products to help you and your horse. So see them all at OmegaAlpha.ca. That's OmegaAlpha.ca. On a side note, they also have products for your dog. OmegaAlpha.ca.
Terrific. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that. I think what we're going to do, let's just switch things up a little bit here this morning because our guest might be a little late today. We knew that that might happen. How about we do our song now, and then we'll come back to our guest and then continue on to our weekend roundup. We have lots of fun news stories for you this morning. So what do you think? You want to go with that?
Let's do it.
All right. So our song today, I thought, we hadn't played this one like since March, and we have a lot of new listeners, and it's kind of a fun song. We thought, it's Monday, so let's play a fun Dan Roberts song. This is called Cowhand.com, and then we're going to be back to talk about a little property in New Jersey that you're going to find absolutely amazing.
Brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens. It was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us a tag so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old, gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a cow pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it'd start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did hair analysis with a digital modem, and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's gonna breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was gonna have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed. Scroll me back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. There's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail.
I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com.
Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yeah, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
By the way, you can buy cowhand.com. It's available, Jamie. I just looked it up.
You can. It's on oldbootsmusic.com, is Dan Roberts' website. We absolutely love his stuff. And if you still haven't heard the musical episode we did with him, it's worth it because, oh, my God, he's like wrangling cows when we talk to him. And you can hear the cows. They're like screaming into the microphone. It was fantastic. Loved it.
All right, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Jennifer H. is over there as the producer today. And we have our next guest is – this is something that we started
– Stop. Yeah? You already screwed it up. You're supposed to say you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Glenn
Omega Alpha. But I figured we had just done the commercial, so we were safe.
Sure, whatever. Go ahead.
We started this segment a little while back, and it was kind of because we found a property that we thought was just out of this world, and now it's become a regular segment on the show, and it's a segment called Things You Will Never Own. And as a horse person, there are a lot of things that we would like to own and will never own, and I venture to say that this is one of them. However, we never dreamed that we would actually be doing a horse property that we would all lust over in New Jersey. And what a lot of people don't realize is New Jersey has a lot of farmland and a lot of open area once you get south of that Newark and stuff. So we have found, Jennifer came up with this farm. It's the Peretti Farm in Cream Ridge, New Jersey. And we have Ellen on the phone here, who I think has a partner of hers on here as well. So let's say hi. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. I'm here with my partner, Jim.
Jim, hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, so I got to say, when we started this segment, I didn't think that we'd be talking to somebody from New Jersey, but this place you're going to tell us about is unbelievable. It is an incredible property.
Oh, it's a very special property. It's actually very similar, and I believe it was probably designed to emulate the feel of actually being in Lexington, Kentucky.
And actually, Mr. Peretti used to own 900 acres in Lexington,
That's
Kentucky,
correct.
And also part of the Red Mile.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Well, that goes back a few years then.
Absolutely.
So tell us about this place. It's called the Peretti Farm, and there's some neat stuff on this property. And I have to say, Jennifer got goosebumps when she was looking at the house, and we've talked about some pretty fancy properties across the country, but just the views and the vistas. Tell us about it.
Every time I've ever, for the last 5-10 years, every time you drive into the farm, you drive down the lane, and you go over a little lake, you think you're in a movie. It reminds you like a scene from a movie. No matter how many times you do it, it always feels the same way. It's an amazing, at least that's how I feel. It's an amazing feeling.
Yeah, me too. The vistas and the following the fence lines, the rolling fence lines, it's just like, I'm telling you, it is just like being in Lexington. I've been in Lexington a few times, and once you land at the airport and you start driving out and see those rolling fence lines, Peretti Farms gives you the exact same feel. You are absolutely taken away. It is just gorgeous, just tremendous. And Jim could probably tell you a little bit more about the house if Jennifer's really interested in it. He's got a lot to tell you about it.
All right, go ahead.
Don't tell us.
house has a beautiful front porch, wraparound porch, and it really, when you drive down the lane, the stud barn, which is about, 80 stalls or 40 stalls?
Right, right.
Yeah, 80 stalls. And then the indoor arena is on the left. And then the house is set up on a wooded hilltop on the right. So you can actually have views from the house to the overlooking the stud barn and the indoor arena. It's just absolutely magnificent. Yeah.
Direct view of it.
Two guest apartments, which really he uses for family and friends that are actually attached to the house. And then this beautiful built-in pool just overlooks all the fields. And there's like 26 paddocks, a beautiful, magnificent indoor arena. I think one of the comments from one of your girls that emailed us was about the viewing rooms. There's actually two beautiful viewing rooms overlooked in the indoor that are great.
You could play football in the viewing room.
Oh, I know. Well, you could definitely play football in the indoor.
You could have two games going at one time. They're
an
huge.
Upper and a lower.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I want to get back to the house a little bit, and now I do want to talk to you about the barn. The house has something that I just fell in love with. It has the ultimate man cave. That bar.
Well, the bar is actually in the lower level, which they have completely finished off with their game room and their media room. But the bar itself is a replica of the bar in the Peretti's restaurant that they have up in North Jersey. It's an exact replica, and they're very proud of it. And attached to it is their wine room, and attached to that on the other side is an enormous exercise area. Mr. Peretti is very much into physical activity, and so it is actually a man cave. He showcases all his trophies down there, and then on the first level is the
great room,
right? An
stone
enormous
fireplace.
Yeah,
yep,
an enormous yep. great room that they built specifically for entertaining. Has its own kitchen.
Yeah, second kitchen.
Right, yep. It opens up to or has easy access to the pool area and a guest house with that, and those the pool area, the guest house, the new conservatory or what you want to call it, room that they added on. They all have a direct view of the barn.
Oh,
and
it's
the
gorgeous.
Field.
And
yeah.
He takes care of it like he, you know, it's just so manicured. It's phenomenal the way he takes care of it.
Well, he does that for the barns, too, because I'm looking at the pictures of the barns, and the barns are just gorgeous. And, of course, they have all the tongue and groove wood stalls and all the black wrought iron gates and everything. And you can tell that this is a barn, and Jennifer, when she worked at Myopia, had to do this, where they go through once a week and they basically buy stock in the Lysol company, and they go through once a week and they clean everything, and all the wood gets polished in the barn. It is just beautiful.
Yeah.
And he has some of the top sires in the world, some of the top stallions in the world are standing there for standardbred racing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's go through some of the statistics here. As you said, it's an 80 by 200 indoor with 40 stalls and an upper and lower viewing room. And as I said, the viewing rooms are enormous. The Staten Barn has 40 stalls, 4 offices, a kitchen, and employee housing. The barn, get this, this is a first for us on this segment. The barn has a full laboratory and breeding area, and it also has a receiving barn. There are 26 paddocks, all with water, hundreds of acres of pastures, and also located on the property, of course, is the home that you talked about. And you're so close to everything. You're 40 minutes to Philly, half an hour to Jersey Shore, half an hour to Princeton, and probably only about, an hour to New York City.
Correct. Yep, absolutely.
So this is in the central part of the state?
Right in the middle.
Yeah. So you're not too far from Atlantic City if you want to go down and put some coins in the slot machines, too.
An hour and a half to AC.
Yep, not far from there either. Absolutely.
Well, this is actually a beautiful part of New Jersey. You know, we pick on New Jersey. Everybody in the country picks on New Jersey. But there actually is a lot of farmland in New Jersey, and people are surprised by that sometimes.
Upper Freehold Township, Cream Ridge, which this is, over 50% of the 47 square miles is in permanent farmland preservation. So it does remind you of places like Kentucky and, you know, real farm, rural areas. Right. They did a good job with Upper Freehold in preserving the land.
Right. Once you get off the turnpike, like as everyone knows New Jersey to be, New Jersey does turn into a completely different area. We are lucky enough. We're very fortunate to be able to work in this area and live in this area because it is a completely stunning, breathtaking area to live in.
Yeah.
With what you just said, all the conveniences right almost at your fingertips, within an hour to be wherever you need to be to get the nightlife that everybody craves or needs to get to once in a while.
See, that's the problem. Is most people go through New Jersey on the turnpike, and the views from the turnpike are not so good.
Not
so
bad.
That's what people think that the whole of New Jersey is because they that's all they see is the I-95.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Up through Jersey. Well, this is an incredible property. Now, we didn't say the price yet, and so it's a cool
$15 million.
And probably you can negotiate that to 14 and a half if you had cash.
Mr. Peretti is a very tough negotiator. He's very he's very good at what he does. He used to own multiple car dealerships in the state and learned how to negotiate extremely well.
It might have to be $14,750.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous property, though. Really.
Now,
really
does it come with all the help? You get all the help too. Does that just come with the property?
You could ask
the
for them.
Yeah,
but,
I would say. You know, if you're going to pay full price, we could probably get you the help.
Okay, hold up.
Yeah.
You want me to go to New Jersey and try to buy something of this magnitude from a used car dealer and try to...
Well, that's why he hired us.
No way!
That's why he hired us.
Crazy! I'm not...
And you know, he is a tremendous individual, and he is in his 80s, and every time you meet or talk to him, it is a full-blown experience.
Oh, yeah. What a character.
Yeah,
it sounds like we need to get him on the show.
Oh,
oh
wow.
No.
What an interview. That would be tremendous.
That would be an interview and a half. Yeah.
Well, Jennifer, why don't you get back?
Glad if he asked me for my home address, I'm hanging up.
right now, a lot of horses of his, a lot of broodmares sold at the most recent Lexington horse sale.
Yeah, their yearlings did.
Yeah,
but he actually created this property, and actually they own 1,000. This is 400 acres. They own 1,000 total acres in New Jersey.
Yeah,
they have another. What, 300, 400 across
310
the street?
310 down the road,
yeah.
And 375, I think, across the street.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he created all this. He was the visionary. And so to get the exposure that it's getting and the compliments that it's getting from people like you is really due for him. And it's wonderful to hear from people like you because he did create this and manicure this whole property.
Yeah, you think you're in Lexington when you're there.
It's amazing. It really is amazing.
We just did the estimated monthly payment at 30 years, Jamie, and it will only cost you $65,000 a month.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad.
Nothing. Nothing.
This is great. Jennifer, why don't you see if you can talk to and see if we can get him on. That would be fun. We should get him.
Oh, wow. That would be
interesting.
Yeah.
And we are targeting some very interesting prospective purchasers because, you know, you got to try to find celebrities and you got to try to find...
Yeah, so all your closest friends.
Large horse
owners. Oh, my God.
Owners.
Is Snooki looking to get into the horse world? Is that what I'm getting?
The one girl on there, if I told you where she came from, you'd laugh because she came from Plumstead, New Egypt.
About 5 miles from there.
One of the girls in the show, and me and Ellen had listed another farm down in Cream Ridge, and when we went there, the owner said, oh, my son just had so-and-so over. She just left, and we got such a kick out of that.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
They're not representative of our area, however.
No. You know, that's just a TV show, and
their entertainment value.
Yeah.
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 It's funny.
You're like, they don't live here. They don't live. They won't be your neighbor. Yeah. They won't be your neighbor anywhere.
Yeah. Live up there.
Well, and, you know, it's a movie. So I one of the things the guy said to us, well, in reality, she's nothing like that. That was this episode after her first episode. I think she just took her clothes off, the whole ball of wax right on TV.
Okay.
He said, that's
not
like
horses.
we have, you know, I mean, horse racing in New Jersey and horse breeding in New Jersey is a tremendous thing that we have. And, you know, right now we're going through our little struggles with slot machines at the racetracks and trying to keep it going. And, you know, when Pennsylvania, New York, and Delaware all have slot machines at the raceways and we don't, they're making it tough, and it's a beautiful, beautiful lifestyle and industry in New Jersey, and a lot of people are involved with it, and it's, right. You know, has made Mr. Peretti put this place on the market. I mean, he's not putting it on because he wants to. He's doing it because the breeding industry is the first one to be affected when the racetracks are affected.
Right.
So
now, is it preserved land, or could it go for development?
No, it's preserved, and it could be broken up into three or four farms that are, you know, 100 acres each.
With one house.
But they'll stay farms.
Correct.
It'll never change. And like I said, probably 40, 50% of Upper Freehold Township, Cream Ridge, is in permanent farmland preservation. I went out there in 1970 when my brother came home from Vietnam and he wanted to be a horse trainer. We put a broodmare out there, and it hasn't changed all that much since then.
Well, that's terrific. I'm glad to hear that.
Country.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Jennifer has posted on our Facebook page the link to this listing, and you just need to go check out the pictures. It's definitely worth taking a look at. And we are going to see if we can get the owner on. He sounds like a good time, so that should be fun to get him on too. And you know, we haven't really talked to a standardbred owner, too many standardbred owners at this point either. So we should do that.
Yep.
But thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Give your website out.
Oh, go ahead. EllenManzyRealEstate.com.
That works.
Yep.
Okay. And so how do you spell your last name?
M-A-N-Z-I.
So
Peretti Farms, and Peretti Farms has its own direct website, which is www.327route526.com.
To domain
527route526.com. Okay, good. All right, we'll put links to that in our show notes today, and as well as we just posted it on Facebook. So thank you so much to the both of you for joining us, and good luck selling this baby.
Thank
Glenn
you.
Glenn and Jamie, thank you very much.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye, guys. Thank you.
All right, okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Are you ready? $65,000 a month. That's all.
Yeah, maybe if they split it into two, you know, if I could have a roommate, you know, to pay half of it, that would work.
Can you imagine because New Jersey has the highest taxes in the country. Can you imagine what the real estate, I didn't look at that part. I couldn't find it. I was looking around for the real estate taxes. Maybe Jennifer can locate that because I was trying to figure out what the real estate taxes would be on it. It's like, whew, it's gotta be something. Well, wait a minute here.
How funny is it? How funny is it that every single one of the people that we've ever talked to from New Jersey is so embarrassed by the Jersey Shore?
I know. Our friend Kristen Joy, who's from the Jersey Shore, who happens to know some of those people, is embarrassed to be saying she's from the Jersey Shore.
I know. I mean, they're every single person that we've had on this show that's been from Jersey is like, I'm not one of them. I don't know them. They don't live here. They're not your neighbor.
Well, that is a beautiful property, and that's always a fun segment. You know, every realtor we've had on has been a good sport, haven't they, when you think about it? Because they know that not too many of us are going to be able to afford that.
They have, well, when the segment's called Things You'll Never Own, I doubt they think they're going to get a sale out of the title of this topic.
You know what? We're making a mistake here. We really need to negotiate with these people before we have them on that we get a little bit of a commission if the sale does come from the show.
Negotiate that with Mr. Peretti or whatever his name is, who's going to kill you and bury you on the property.
I loved you had the funniest line of the day. You definitely get 2 points for the used car line. That was good.
Yeah, seriously, you're not negotiating nothing with an 80-year-old used car salesman from New Jersey. I mean...
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Do you want me to start?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, here's really what I wanted to do today. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like you all to know that our friend from Down Under, the Wonder Horse, Black Caviar, now stands at 15-0. She won this weekend. Black Caviar won her 15th race, and she is now 15-0, and she now took over Farlap's longstanding 14-0 racing record with her 15th win. Now, granted, Farlap raced about 35 times, but he won 14 in a row. So last race a couple weeks ago, they came out and said, oh, she beat his record, or she tied his record. Now she has beaten it. This is an amazing filly. Sprinter from Australia. God, I wanted to come to the Breeders' Cup so bad, which is not going to happen, so just so you know. But how awesome is she?
She's pretty awesome. Now, when you say sprinter, what makes a sprinter? Explain this.
She would be a sprinter because she goes on short races, sprinting races, as opposed to, and again, I don't know how long this race was. They're usually like 6-7 furlongs, and those are quarter miles. And so I don't know exactly how far this race was. But
I always thought of sprinters as more like the quarter horses where, you know, it's really short.
Those are quarter horses. They go quarter mile. These are thoroughbreds, so they do go faster, but you know, there's a little bit less rating and there's a little more like on the, like for a race with the Belmont, you try to get in a good position and you wait and you, these guys, like they try to get into a good position and wait for about 5 seconds and then giddy up. So this horse just has a whole lot of early speed, and she is just amazing.
Well, do you want to hear the race? I have it for you.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, nope. You want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Okay, here
yeah.
we go.
1,200 for the Schweppes. Away they go. And Black Caviar jumps away okay. She's up second early with her stablemate showing the way. Doubtful Jack lands a length and a half. Black Caviar second, 2 lengths away. Scenic Blast. Hedy Angels jump pretty well for him, and he's about a neck away, and he's running last of the four. So they make their way towards the first turn, and out in front is Doubtful Jack. He shows the way by 2 lengths. Black Caviar idling along in second. Scenic Blast is a length and a half away. And Hedy Angels a neck further back, last of the four. So the Schweppes field comes down the side. Doubtful Jack, the leader, about a length in front of Black Caviar. A length and a half, Scenic Blast on the inside. And Hedy Angels staying in touch with them as they go by the school. Doubtful Jack, the leader. Nolan just slips the Great Mare a little bit more leather, and she gets up within a neck of the leader. Hedy Angels cheekily got up a length and a half third, and Scenic Blast is last, but she takes over the running now, Black Caviar, and kicks away. This is the great exhilaration we come to see. Into the straight she goes, and if you've come to see the greatest, here she is. Black Caviar opening up by about 5 or 6 lengths. 15 straight, she just keeps trotting them out, and she probably hasn't had many easier than that. Black Caviar won it by about 5 on the line. To Doubtful Jack, Hedy Angels, and Scenic Blast stayed at the tail.
Oh, my God. She won it by 6 lengths, and it's a sprint. Are you kidding me? This is the most awesome mare since Zenyatta. It's like another Zenyatta. And you know what's really awesome? They mentioned the horse here to Angels. You heard that a couple different times.
Yep, yep.
Leading up to this race, there was a big drama because apparently Here to Angels is a horrible loader. And behind the gate, before they load the horses into the starting gates, apparently Here to Angels kicked and is very fractious. And they drew the post position next to Black Caviar. Well, the Black Caviar's people were like, we're not running in that race next to that horse. You've got to be out of your mind. So for the first time, I think, in history, where Black Caviar had the 3 spot and Here to Angels was supposed to take the number 4 spot, they actually moved Here to Angels over to the 5th spot. So because Black Caviar is so awesome and amazing and, like, owns, you know, Australia at this point. The trainer's like, yeah, we're not going to run if that horse is next to us. So they actually moved the horse over one.
Well, and, you know, they're having trouble, too, with this particular horse, Black Caviar, because nobody wants to run with her anymore. So there are only four horses in this race because nobody wants to get beat. And they're going, well, we don't have a chance. So we're just not even going to bother. And now they're trying to find horses to run against her.
Yeah, they say she wins the hearts of men, but breaks the hearts of horses. So nobody wants to run their horse for second place anymore.
Now, you
difficult.
Mentioned another horse there, which I don't know anything about either, and that's Farlap. What's the story with that one?
Oh, my gosh. Farlap is like Australia's Secretariat. This horse was amazing, and if you've never seen the movie Farlap, it stars Tom Burlingson, the guy from, I can just talk about this forever, the guy from The Man from Snowy River and Return to Snowy River also starred in this Australian horse movie called Farlap. I saw that as a kid, and I remember, oh, it's an Australian horse movie with the guy from The Man from Snowy River. This is going to be wonderful. Oh, my God. I sobbed uncontrollably for weeks. If you have not seen this movie, do not do it in public. Go ahead. Get Farlap. You got to see it. Farlap. If you have not seen this movie, we need to post some on Facebook. Have you seen Farlap, the movie, and have you recovered? Because,
there's a question of the day.
Yeah, have you seen Farlap and did it change your life? So they show this, it's a story about Australia's, say, secretariat, man of war, whatever. He ran in the early 1900s. I don't even know the dates, but he was amazing. I mean, he won everything in Australia, and then he comes to the United States, and I will not tell you the end of the story, but he is Australia's baby. Australia's darling horse, Black Caviar times a million. So after Farlap passed away, the country actually, and it's kind of bizarre, instead of burying the horse in a proper burial, like Man O' War was embalmed, actually, and they buried Man O' War whole. They did not bury many horses whole. What they did with Farlap was they basically took him apart. One place, his heart went to one place, his skin went to another place, and his skeleton went to another museum. So three different museums have three different big chunks of Farlap. When I say big chunks, it's
kind
just
of gross.
Horrible. It's disgusting. But this is Australia, and this is their baby, and everybody wanted a piece of Farlap, and some people got big pieces. So apparently all these pieces, another story we did a while ago, all these pieces are reuniting, going to the same museum. So Farlap will be put together again. However, there was some problem because the skeleton of Farlap, the way that they pieced it together, does not actually look anything conformationally like the real Farlap. So so bizarre, okay? So they take Farlap and put him back together at this new museum, and they're like, no, this is not okay. This is not what Farlap's skeleton looks like. Apparently, his neck did not come out of his scapula in the proper angle, and his back was shortened, and his hocks were too far underneath him. So they've actually taken the skeleton of Farlap apart and have, like, they put a picture of the skeleton next to a photograph, and then they tried to match it up. It's like a big puzzle. And Australia will be pissed if he is not put together in the correct way. So you can go to the Melbourne Museum and see Farlap's skin. It's so weird. And now they're going to put Farlap's skeleton with him. But anyway... because I talked about the movie Farlap, I can't tell you how he died or whatever, but, you just go watch the movie and then you'll understand the kind of drama associated with trying to put Farlap back together.
It's all right. Well, I'll have to watch it. Jennifer and I have you seen that movie, Jennifer? I haven't seen it. So
I have not.
Have
and I found the trailer. It was released in 1983. We're getting that this weekend.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Right,
you have to get it. Oh, you're going to just freak out. It's an amazing story. story. It's an amazing movie. And just keep in mind that this is true. It is a true story, and you get to stare at Tom Burlington for like 2 hours.
I'm familiar with the movie story, having read it, but I didn't even know there was a Farlap movie.
Oh, it's like one of the greatest horse movies ever. I mean, like the worst greatest horse movie ever.
Right.
But it's awesome. I'm totally, never mind.
Don't give it away.
Hey, I have a story here for you too, off the racing subject here for a little bit. So you know how I like the bizarre stories. Well, I found a bizarre one. I don't know how the hell I even found this one, but out of Russia, of all places, you know, do you have a bucket list, Jamie? Things you want to do before you die?
Yes. I mean, there are definitely things. I don't think I have them written down, much like some people. But, yes, I do have a list of things that I would like to do in my head.
All right. Well, this Russian woman by the name of Aragafina blah, 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 had one, too. And apparently on her bucket list was to ride a horse. Well, instead of, you know, just like, you know, calling a neighbor and saying, you know, I'd like to go ride. I see you have a nice horse out there, you know, a stallion, by the way. I see you have a nice stallion sitting out in your yard. Could I take it for a ride, please? Well, she decided not to do it that way. Apparently, part of her bucket list was to get arrested, too, because she decided that the best way to do it was to wait till everybody was sleeping, go into the neighbor's paddock, saddle the horse up, the neighbor's horse, and gallop away. And she returned an hour later to find, I had a wonderful ride, apparently, 80 years old now, 80th birthday. This is on her bucket list to ride a horse. So she returned an hour later, and she found the neighbor in a police car waiting for her. Apparently, the neighbor discovered his horse out and called the police. So, anyway, they had a nice discussion with her and told her it probably would have been better if she hadn't just stolen the horse and had at least let somebody know she was going to borrow it for an hour. She got off. She got off without being arrested, but this has been her dream since childhood, and she said she was running out of time, and she needed to do it now. So there you go. 80 years old, stealing horses.
I want to know, Glenn, bless your heart, where exactly you find these ridiculous stories.
You didn't know I read Russian, did you?
No. I would like to poke holes in your story here. Okay, there's an 80-year-old Russian woman. Okay, 80. I mean, the Russians are tough, but 80 is 80. 80-year-old Russian woman who rustles her neighbor's property. She goes in the middle of the night, saddles up a horse, and gallops away. Okay, first of all, she's 80. She's never ridden a horse before. How the hizzle does she know how to put on a saddle?
You know what, Jamie? I have an answer. I have an answer for all of this.
What?
I have an answer. You drink enough vodka, you can do anything.
The problem is that when I drink vodka, I cannot do anything. Much less saddle up a horse and gallop away, especially being that I've never been on a horse and I'm 80 years old. But if you want to go with this story, let's see if we can find Aragafina Vasilyevna and get her on the show.
Wow, you said that much better than I did. Hey, the U.S. Park Police are helping out. There's a college near here in Kentucky called Asbury College. And Asbury College has a unique horse program. And part of their unique equine management program is that they train police horses. They desensitize police horses and get them used to all the crowds and noise and everything. And then they actually buy these horses, and then they put them up for sale, hoping that police departments around the country will buy them. Well, they have sold a couple of their horses, which we're happy because it's an excellent program. And their horses, we've seen their horses do demonstrations. These are trained horses. And they've actually sold a couple of horses to Lexington here, bought a couple, and then some police departments in North Carolina bought a couple. Well, they're happy to announce that one of the oldest equestrian organizations in the United States, the United States Park Police, has agreed to purchase 2 horses from Asbury. So the United States Park Police will take these 2 horses, and they'll bring them and put them through their own little program, and then they'll be working at the federal parks in Washington, D.C., New York, and San Francisco. So congratulations to Asbury College students. They take so much pride, Jamie, in their horses and what they're doing over there. And their funds that they raise from selling these horses help sustain the program. They're the only university in the world invited to demonstrate at the World Equestrian Games, and it's the only Christian school in the South with an equine management major, and they're just good kids. We got to meet them. We actually had them on a show once, too, over at the horse park, and so congratulations. I'm just so proud of Asbury College and their police training program.
That's a really great story.
It makes up for the last one.
Then your last ridiculousness. Okay, well, let's touch on horse racing again real quick. Let's go back to my husband's favorite horse in the world. I don't know why. He watched the Triple Crown races with me this year, and he, for some reason, loved Shackleford. That big chestnut with a big wide blaze and white feet, I think it was flashy enough for him that he just liked this horse, Shackleford. So every time Shackleford has run, we watch the race or we listen to it or whatever. Well, we've talked so much about Uncle Mo and Stay Thirsty, the stablemates. Those two horses are both headed for the November 5th Breeders' Cup Classic. Okay, remember I read the Facebook post and Uncle Mo was like trying to get his friends on Facebook to tell us, should I run in the Breeders' Cup Mile or should I go in the Classic? And I was like, Mo, you got to go in the Mile because it's more your speed. And I gave him a really good answer. Well, he opted not to do what I said.
He didn't listen to you?
He did not listen to me at all. I said, you won the juvenile, win the mile, and next year win the classic. I mean, it's perfect. You'll be like the trifecta, Breeders' Cup winner. Well, apparently he and his friends gave me the middle finger, and they are going in to the Breeders' Cup Classic, Uncle Mo and Stay Thirsty, and also potentially Stop Shopping Maria, because that is another filly in their stable. So those three going into the classic. Well, Shackleford is going to the mile. So it's going to be an awesome day. Shackleford is going to run in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Of course, he's the one that won the Preakness, and he's been training. So we're going to have a lot of awesome, awesome races on Breeders' Cup Day. I might just have to take that whole day off and just sit on the couch, be like my Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know what? This year seems, and maybe it's because I don't know, because we're doing this show and I'm covering it more or whatever, but it seems to be like there's more horses that have just stood out this year. There's more interesting stories of horses that have stood out this year. Is it just me?
Yeah.
Or?
No, I think that's true. And the cool thing is a lot of these horses have stuck around for so long. Like a horse like Shackleford, who wins the Preakness, they didn't just retire him 5 minutes after that race. You know, they didn't retire him after the Belmont. He's continued to run through this entire year, going all the way up to the Breeders' Cup. And how many times do you not see horses last that long? I mean, Uncle Mo was such a great story because he was favored. He won the juvenile, and he was favored to win the Kentucky Derby. He got sick. He's made this amazing comeback, and now he's running again. So, no, there's been a lot of great racing stories this year and a lot of cool horses to follow. I mean, when do we ever have a Black Caviar? A Black Caviar, right, who is, by the way, Dirk Bay, go and win 15-0. So we just
pretty,
had some awesome stories. Oh, she's gorgeous.
Hey, speaking of racing, did you see that? Remember we've been covering the story about the whip rules in using whips in racing in England? And the British Racing Authority came under fire because some of the jockeys actually quit. They handed in their licenses and said, we're not going to do this anymore. Richard Hughes was one of them, who was a big-time jockey in England. And he said, I'm just not going to do this anymore because it was too complicated. They were just having to count the number of whip strikes, and it was just a little complicated. So the British Racing Authority on Friday has confirmed that they are going to keep several amendments, but they're making some changes. The key changes see jockeys given greater freedom over when they are allowed to apply the use of the whip. Previously, the new rule had dictated that a maximum of 5 strikes after the quarter pole at the end of the race. Now they're saying they basically can have 7 or 8 at any time during the race. So they've taken that away. So now the jockeys don't have to be watching for the quarter pole so that they know they're not going to violate. And oh, by the way, does the track have 25 people up there counting whip strikes? I don't get that either. But anyway, so they announced that adjustment and also that the jockey's fees will no longer act as part of the punishment dished out for whip offenses and that they will lose their percentage of the prize money if they're banned for 7 days or more, they have, that gets all very complicated. But basically, if there's a minor violation that's their first time, they're not going to lose their fee. So they're going to have to be punished over and over again to do that. And then that Richard Hughes guy who quit because of it has now confirmed that he will return to riding and thinks this is much fairer. So it does show you that government agencies or agencies of authority can change when applied a little pressure. You know, I'm sure that the WIT banning people are upset with this, but, you know, if you're not going to ban it, at least make it so that jockeys can follow it.
I mean, obviously it was tough. It's kind of tough on both sides because it was tough to try to figure out a way to limit the number, and especially down the quarter pole, because that's where everybody goes crazy is with hitting the horse, is just bam, 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 all the way down to the finish line. To me, this is just backing, you know, coming back down the hill. You know, they were making good strides as far as passing laws, and now they've just slipped right back down the hill. Granted, it wasn't the greatest rule, but now they've almost retracted the whole thing. Fix the whips.
The only way to really fix the whips is to say no whips. I mean, if you're gonna fix the whips, and then you have the argument. Remember, we had Frankie on who said, you know, it gets dangerous. You're not only using the whip. Sometimes you need the whip to get their attention, and sometimes it's dangerous if you don't have their attention. Because you got to remember the way they are in the jockey's position. Leg is useless. They don't have a leg. They don't have feet. For that matter. So the only thing they have to get the horse's attention is the whip.
Let's not get into this now. Because you and I are not going to agree.
We're probably not.
No, but, and I understand both sides of the story. I still just think something needs to be done because I just think it gives racing a bad name.
And I totally agree with you there. And if I was in court, I could probably argue both sides. I totally agree. I don't like seeing them come down the home stretch just whipping the hell out of the horses. I just don't like
that. I don't either. So I just think they're running guards. Let's move on. we can argue about this forever. But I wanted to remind everybody that you can still – apparently this has been going on for a while because you knew about it. I had no idea. This was released – October 22nd, which is a Friday, and you keep voting until November 4th, and it is the Hall of Fame? Anyway, there'll be America's Favorite Equestrian Hall of Fame voting closes on Halloween, okay? So you can go and you can vote for your favorite equestrian, and there's many sports. I had no idea about this. There's dressage, driving, endurance, eventing, jumping, para dressage, reining, vaulting, and you vote for your favorite in that sport, and then there they could potentially be voted into the Equestrian Hall of Fame, which is, I don't know, the Equus Foundation. It's their baby. So how do you vote? Let me look for that. How do you vote?
Online. You go online to this website. They made this as confusing. It has been going on for a year because they had the preliminary nominations, and you could vote on that. And this has been going on forever, and it's at equusfoundation.org. But you have to pay $5, and then you get to vote. And it's a fundraiser for the Equus Foundation is what it is. And then you get to vote. But it seems like it's just been going on forever. And I'm like, get it over with and announce a winner already. It's like some of the episodes of American Idol, you know, when they announce the winners and they wait till the very end of the show and you got to put up with the crappy acts before the end and you fast forward through the whole thing and get to the end just so you can see who won. It's like that. It's like, let's just fast forward to the end and see who won. That's how I kind of feel about this. Sorry, Equus Foundation. Next time, make it a month and not 2 years.
It's like the result show of Dancing with the Stars. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. equusfoundation.org, and you can go on and vote. But again, $5, and it goes to a good cause. So check that out. But as far as dressage, I mean, how do you pick between Gunter and Debbie and Stephen Peters? I mean, how do you choose one of those guys to be your favorite? And as far as, you know, like for eventing. You've got Tiana and Boyd Martin and Kim Severson. So, well, I know where my vote would go, even though he didn't call me on my birthday. Boyd, what's up?
That's
so
true.
Check that out, equusfoundation.com. $5 to place a vote for your favorite equestrian.
All right, good. And they're making the movie. Do you like The Hobbit and all of those? Did you like those movies?
Yes, I love them very much.
Talk about long things that I just wanted to get the end to. All three of those movies, I just could not get to the end fast enough.
Jennifer, are you
loved
serious?
The book. Oh, I hated them. I absolutely hated them. I just thought they were the longest, most dragged out movies ever.
Oh my God, oh. Return of the King was phenomenal.
Oh.
And it's the Jennifer
Hidalgo
loved them. Guy. I mean,
I hated him. Anyway, except for that pretty blonde girl, the one in the movie there that played something or other. I don't know. I slept through half of them. But they're making the movie The Hobbit now, which is, of course, being directed by Peter Jackson. And
what?
It's
That's
the,
my
you know,
favorite story by Tolkien. My favorite one.
Well, it's being shot now in New Zealand, and they're using, the horse angle of this, is they're using Icelandic horses for this movie because of their stature. They're kind of short, and they're very hairy, and kind of when you think about a hobbit, you kind of think about an Icelandic horse, don't you? I mean, it kind of fits.
Well, you know what I really think of when I think of a hobbit would be, honestly, a Shetland pony, but apparently because... and I'm reading this ahead a little bit, but because of Gandalf being on the great white horse, you know, and galloping around, the Shetland ponies couldn't keep up with it. So they used the Icelandic horses because they have that tolt gait and they can just boop, go right along with a big horse. That's why they're so amazing.
Well, and I can understand that because they do book. I have seen Icelandic ponies and Sorry, I was just reading Facebook, and that's why I got distracted.
They're really fast. Yeah,
they're
super
really fast. Yep.
And they're really strong, and they can carry grown people, and all these actors have to be wearing armor. So even though they may be small hobbits, they still have to wear armor that's very heavy, and the Icelandic horses really worked very well for this movie. I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited.
Well, I will let you do the review on that. And would you please take my wife so I don't have to go?
take my wife, please.
Am I the only one? Am I the only one that found the Lord of the Rings just were never? I really wanted it to be titled Lord of the Rings: The Never Ending Movie.
Did you like Harry Potter?
I loved Harry Potter, but there was more action. Lord of the Rings, we spent forever just going from one place to another. It's like just take a train, fly. I don't care.
It's a movie about traveling to the center of the earth or wherever the underworld. Middle Earth. Thank you. How
All right,
dare
take
you?
Take a boat then. I don't care.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, it is a little bit like Harry Potter in that The Hobbit happens chronologically before the Lord of the Rings series. And you know, in the very first Harry Potter movie, it was very action-packed and the plot moved along very quickly. The Hobbit's the same way. The plot moves along much, much more quickly in The Hobbit than it does by the time you get to the third, you know, in The Return of the King. I mean, and that's just, I guess, the nature of those sorts of series is. But I just watched the trailer. It looks awesome. The horse that Gandalf rides is spectacular. Yeah, can't wait.
Is that big silver stallion thing, that big gray?
It was white in the scene. That's all I could tell in the scene. He's galloping up the stairs of the castle. It's really cool.
I would like to say that I am totally Facebook friends with that horse. I think I have more Facebook friends that are horses than humans. That's really sad.
Do they talk back a lot?
They do write back every once in a while, but usually, like Uncle Mo, they just ignore me. It doesn't matter what I say. Hey, boss, before we wrap up the show, I need your confirmation, and I'm going to go ahead and take down, if you could, give me your credit card number right now. I need your credit card number, your street address, and your zip code. So if you could go ahead and give that to me now, go.
And what's that for?
Because they're tail tailgating again at Rolex, and tickets go on sale November 1st, and you can reserve your spot early before they sell out. There are new options. There's all the cross-country tailgating. You can get some great seats for show jumping. You can learn more about tailgating. All you have to do is go to the website. So what I'm just trying to do here is
I have
go
a
ahead
idea.
And book that right now because idea. The some spaces, I mean, if you want to get a standard space, whatever, just for, you know, from just for cross country day, it's $275. But the premium space, only a $325, and you can have a premium cross country space. So credit card number, go.
You don't need it because I have a better idea. I've already written to the people who are running the tailgate for Rolex, and we're going to try and do the best tailgate Rolex Horses in the Morning Award. Which means that we're going to have to visit every tailgate, try all the food and all the drink on Saturday of tailgating. What do you think?
Okay, so when is my spot? Where is my spot going to be, though?
You don't need a spot because we're going to be in all the spots. We're going to visit everybody. We're going to drink the free beer, and we're going to eat the free food because we're going to just use this as an excuse that we could go get everybody else's food.
So the idea is that they are to woo us and buy our
They have to woo us. That's correct. Yes. We are to be bribed. See, you know, most contests say no bribery and you're not allowed to buy off the judges. We're different here at the Horse Radio Network. We don't respect authority that much. So we really would love them to buy off the judges. Yes, we can be
bought. We can be bought. Yeah. Okay. So if anybody wants to try to buy us and win the horse's prestigious annual Horses in the Morning Rolex Tailgating Spot Award, you can go to rk3de.org. That's a confusing website, but Rolex Kentucky three-day event, rk3de.org. Check that out. The tailgating packages go on sale soon, so you don't want to miss it. And I think I'm trying to figure out the numbers here, but you can get one for the 26th and the 27th for $400, and that's a premium spot, or the standard ones for $345. Why go big or go home, though? You know,
and you remember, do you remember when we were walking around last year? We had fun with some of the tailgaters. They were having a blast.
You did. You walked around and went to everybody's tailgate spot, bumming food. I was watching the actual riding. You were eating.
Well, what my better? Life? Now, this year, you get to eat and drink while we watch. We can do it both. You have to help judge, you know.
That's true. I do like it. I like this idea. I like this idea. So if anybody out there is listening and is going, just say you're with Horses in the Morning and they'll give you free food. Got to make it relatable, you know.
All right, everybody. That's it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow morning with more guests and more fun here on Horses in the Morning. Today was brought to you by Omega Alpha. And I'm actually, while I'm talking here, trying to figure out who is on tomorrow morning. And I don't know if I have that handy right now. So I think we're going to have to tell you tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Everybody have a great day. Oh, my God. So a couple Facebook updates here. Glenn says you should definitely not buy the extended DVD set of Lord of the Rings.
Good.
Yeah, there you go. So, Glenn, definitely Glenn, take Glenn's advice. Do not buy that. And Jennifer, it might not be the best Christmas gift for him, though I am still getting you a Word of the Day calendar because I wrote that down. so, you know. Anyway, right. Everybody have a great day.
Hey, wait a minute. One more update. Robert Dunn has a terrific idea. He says, Glenn and Jamie, I'm pretty sure that in the sense of fairness, there should be a listener judge for the tailgate judging contest. Because if it's just the two of us, we could have a tie. We need a listener judge to be there with us.
Whatever you need, that's fine. We can bring a group of people. As long as we get to eat and drink with everybody along the cross country course, I'm good. As long as I get to be there. As long as we get to be there. So, Robert, you come on down. Come on, baby. We'll go. We'll go right around. All right, everybody, spay, neuter, and geld. Have a great day.
Have a great day, everybody. Ride safely, wear your helmet, and see you at Peelers.